Growing Healthy Pigs podcast.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of Growing Healthy Pigs podcast. This is the podcast for pig farmers who are interested in hearing about the latest tech updates, industry news, and practical advice on pig health.
In today's episode, we will be discussing how the pig industry can back farm assurance schemes, and we'll be catching up with some staff members of our second Growing Healthy Pigs ambassadors. We'll be talking about how their high welfare and pioneering vaccination techniques have made improvements for both pigs and farm staff.
So if you're listening to us in the shed, tractor, or in your kitchen while you rustle up some dinner, get comfy and stay tuned.
Farm assurance schemes have been in the spotlight recently, and they're a vital link in the farm-to-fork supply chain. Today, we are talking to Dr. Georgina Crayford, who is the technical manager for pigs at Red Tractor Food Standards, on why farm assurance is so important and how the industry can support these schemes. We'll also hear from our very own Merrill Ward, ex-HDB board member, Farm Animal Welfare Council member, and chair of HDB Pork Board, and a farmer in her own right. Their farms are farm assured, and we will ask why she chooses to do this and what benefits she sees in her pig business.
I'm Georgina Crayford. I'm the technical manager for pigs at Red Tractor. I've been with Red Tractor about 18 months now. Previous to that, I worked for the National Pig Association. And at Red Tractor, I'm essentially responsible for managing the pig standards and working with the certification bodies around making sure that the assessments are done for the pig sector.
Hi, I'm Merrill Ward. I'm a pig farmer based in North Lincolnshire, and we farm 2,000 breeding sows on three different farms, working with farmers around Lincolnshire who rear the pigs for us. And within our business, we're also we run a mixed farm diversified business. So we have some arable cropping, a farm shop and cafe, Uncle Henry's, and also renewable energy enterprises. So we run an anaerobic digester, basically turning our pig manure into electricity and heat for the farm shop.
Hello, Georgina and Merrill, and welcome to MSD's second Growing Healthy Pigs podcast. Thank you for joining us today and agreeing to talk to us about the Red Tractor Assurance Scheme and how farmers can benefit from membership of farm assurance schemes. So, firstly, Georgina, can you tell us what the benefits for the pig farm businesses are to be a member of the scheme?
Well, I think for farmers, you know, it's fair to say that being Red Tractor assured ensures a route to market. You know, most of the major retailers require farms to be Red Tractor assured. It also helps to make sure, or helps farmers to make sure, that they are meeting the relevant legal requirements. So, you know, legislation is often changing and interpretation of legislation is often changing. And what we try to do is make sure that the Red Tractor standards are always reflective of the latest legislation, so that farmers in meeting the Red Tractor standards are making sure that they're meeting the relevant legal requirements. And then finally, I think Red Tractor is recognised by not all, but some government agencies as well. We have some earned recognition there. So where a farmer is Red Tractor assured, they tend to benefit from fewer government inspections as well. So there's a mix of things that are beneficial to farmers through being part of Red Tractor.
Okay, and why is Red Tractor Farm Assurance so important?
So our core purpose is to reassure shoppers that British food is safe, it's responsibly produced, and it's traceable. And Red Tractor's been around now for 20 years, actually, and it was first established at a time when there was a lot of food scares. And our assurances at that time around food safety were a real, you know, offered confidence to consumers. And then, you know, fast forward a bit of time, when the horse meat scandal happened in 2013, the farm to fork traceability that Red Tractor ensured provided, again, a really great defence for UK agriculture. And now, in the time that we're in, shoppers are increasingly interested in how their food is produced, particularly with Brexit and new trade deals being negotiated with, you know, countries that we haven't previously done a lot of trade with, like the US. Consumers want to be, you know, assured that the food they're purchasing has been produced to high standards, and Red Tractor offers a way for British farmers to demonstrate to shoppers that they are meeting those high standards.
Okay, thank you. And let's see it from a farmer's perspective. Meryl, why are you FarmAssured, and what benefits do you see from the Red Tractor scheme?
Well, I suppose I should start by saying that we've been assured right from the start of the scheme. So that goes back about 20 years when we first made the decision. And the overriding benefit is providing reassurance to our customers about the standards to which we keep our pigs. And during that 20 years, the scheme's grown. It's covering a much wider diversity of different aspects of the farming business. So it's health and welfare, it's traceability, it's medicine use, it's the transport from farm to the factory. And farming nowadays is a complex business. If we, as an individual farmer, had to actually, weren't in the Red Tractor and actually had to prove all of those aspects of our farming to the customer, it would be quite a task. And it's very handy to have it all wrapped up in one scheme where the standard is set and we're working to that standard. And I suppose a second real benefit is that it's an insurance policy as well as an assurance. And what I mean by that is that, you know, there is concern amongst the general public about how farmers look after their livestock. And so we regard it very much as, you know, a benefit that we have a vet, a professional person on the farm every 13 weeks inspecting our stock, and basically is our insurance to the outside world to be able to say that we've been inspected, that we are doing the job properly. And then once a year we get the annual audit, and that's another external person. So that's five visits a year. And so I think the general public can really be reassured about how pig farmers are going about their business. And then I think the third thing is we regard it as an assistance in running our business. It's a complex world. There's lots of legislation, regulations that we've got to adhere to. And again, the standard helps us do that. It's, you know, the standard has progressed over time as legislation and regulations have changed, and it's helping us with templates, ways of meeting the legislation, and it's a discipline and a check to make sure that we are keeping up. So lots of different aspects to Red Tractor, and lots of really good reasons for being part of the scheme.
Okay, thank you, Meryl. And Georgina, you know, as you've alluded to, consumers are a vital link in our business. So can you explain what are the benefits for the consumers?
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, the main thing for consumers is that it's a clear signpost on food, on restaurant menus. It's a clear signpost to consumers. It helps them to quickly identify British produce, and the logo tells them that that, you know, the product or the food has been certified as meeting our world leading standards. Our standards ensure that shoppers, you know, are able to access quality food that they can trust, and whatever their budget as well, you know. And we've done some recent consumer research, and that showed that 8 out of 10 shoppers are aware of the Red Tractor logo, and they see it as a positive, reassuring, you know, signpost on pack that they can trust.
Okay, that's all great. But how are Red Tractor helping to educate consumers?
Sure. You know, we, as I said, 8 out of 10 shoppers are aware of the Red Tractor logo, but we know they have good recognition of it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's always been a little bit of a weakness that people don't, you know, the general public don't necessarily know exactly what the logo means or what sits behind it. So over the last 18 months or so, we've been doing a lot of work to try and improve their understanding of the scheme. And that's been through a major consumer marketing campaign involving TV adverts and social media and other bits and bobs. And actually, this is the first time Red Chapter ever has gone on TV with an advert of it, of its own. So it was quite a significant investment in this bit of consumer marketing. And what we've also done is we've launched a new logo. So the old logo has been redesigned. And through redesigning it, we've tried to make it clearer to consumers exactly what it means. So before, the logo just used to be a tractor with the words Assured Food Standards, which was slightly confusing because nobody ever calls us Assured Food Standards. We're always called Red Tractor. So the new logo now, it says Red Tractor in it. We've also included the words Certified Standards. So it's right there in plain English, exactly what the logo means. We've also set the tractor on a tick. And that tick, you know, we've tested it with shoppers and they see that as being a clear sign that the food has been checked. And there's also a little heart in the logo just to add a bit of emotional connection there. So there's a whole package of work going on there all around trying to get shoppers to better understand what's involved in the Red Tractor scheme and some of the hoops and things that farmers have to do in order to be part of the scheme.
Okay, but this all sounds great so far, but farm assurance schemes have come under some scrutiny this year. Why should the industry continue to back these assurance schemes, Georgina?
Yeah, I think most people in the industry will be aware there's been some kind of negative portrayal of pig farms. And, you know, when this kind of thing happens, often it is a Red Tractor pig farm because we cover 94% of pigs in the UK. And when that happens, it is devastating. It's devastating for the farmer involved, for the pig industry as a whole, because often it isn't representative of the way in which farmers are keeping their pigs. And it's devastating for Red Tractor as well. You know, it damages our reputation. But I think to go back to what Meryl said, Red Tractor is and can be an insurance for farmers. So if anything like that were to happen to a farmer, if the evidence showed that they were meeting the Red Tractor standards, then we can be their defence. We can stand up and we can say, this farmer is a member of the scheme and, you know, all of the evidence suggests that they've been meeting our standards. So I think that's, you know, a great reason to support Red Tractor. It provides that defence. And also, going back to what we were talking about previously, at this time where we are entering new trade agreements and things are changing, you know, we're operating in a global market, there are opportunities there and Red Tractor can be part of that opportunity and can provide a clear way for UK pig farmers to demonstrate the high standards that they're working to.
Okay, so obviously supporting these schemes is really important for our business. So can I ask you, Meryl, what would your advice be to other farmers on how and why they should support these farm assurance schemes?
Well, I think it's an incredibly cost-effective way of providing assurance to our customers. We have our vet on farm every 13 weeks, and I think it's provided the discipline to make that happen. You know, the pig industry is now used to having a vet on farm every quarter. But in the early days, it really meant that the vet was integrated as part of the management team on farm. And I think that's been incredibly valuable in terms of business improvement. It's also very helpful that we're able to, through the Red Tractor audits, actually satisfy the requirements of lots of different customers so that as a farmer, you're not actually subjected to different auditors from different customers. Because with carcass balance, you tend to find that you are supplying a variety of different customers. And if each of them had their own schemes, it would be an absolute nightmare. So having that one underlying scheme that retailers have bought into is very helpful from actually managing the interaction between the farm and our customer. I would also say to farmers, look at it as a business improvement tool. You know, yes, there's a discipline to keeping the records and all the other bits that go with it, but there's nothing in there that a professional farmer should be concerned about. You know, all you're really doing is having to prove on paper or through showing an auditor that you are doing the job professionally. And I think most farmers have a huge amount of pride in the job that they do and actually are very happy to open up their farms and, you know, have that level of scrutiny. You know, you're really demonstrating that it's a job well done. You know, we should be very proud of our industry. You know, the odd occasion when things have come unstuck, it is the odd occasion. And, you know, we shouldn't forget that the industry went into this on a voluntary basis. So to say that now 94% of the industry is covered by the scheme is absolutely fantastic. So lots of good reasons. The small downside of the paperwork and getting it all in order, you know, there'll be a business benefit from it somewhere.
Okay, so there are a number of other farm assurance schemes and retailer schemes. Are you part of any of those? And if so, why are they important to your business?
We're part of two other schemes. I won't actually name them, but they take the red tractor as the baseline. And it's really, I wouldn't actually call it a scheme. I'd call it sort of farmer development group for a retailer. And that's a benefit to us as well, because it means that we have direct contact with our customer and we're able to explain different challenges or opportunities as they come along. And we're able to work with those retailers to try and really satisfy their demands. So very practical arrangements that can only be a win-win for both the farmer and the retailer.
Okay, thank you. And Georgina, we can't let COVID-19 go without being talked about. So the outbreak of COVID-19 has caused some issues for on-farm assessments. What have Red Tractor been doing to combat this?
You're right. I don't think an hour goes by without anybody mentioning coronavirus. So, yes, I can see why you've brought it up. So when the country first went into lockdown, Red Tractor fairly quickly realised that we were going to have to come up with a way of continuing with farm assessments in order to demonstrate that farmers were still meeting the standards, you know, in spite of the challenges posed by the pandemic. And at that time, we also had a lot of new farmers that needed to become assured, not so much in the pig sector, but for example, in dairy, where they'd lost their normal customer because that customer was supplying cafes and restaurants. They'd found a new customer, but that customer needed them to be Red Tractor assured. So we wanted to offer a way for those new applicants to the scheme to be able to, you know, have an assessment and become certified. And as well, we needed to keep on track with assessments. You know, we have 46,000 members. If we paused assessments for 1, 2, 3 months, the backlog we would have faced just would have been insurmountable. So we knew we needed to keep on top of that. So we worked with our certification bodies to develop a protocol for delivering assessments remotely through the use of technology. And we also fast-tracked the development of the Red Tractor portal, so an online filing cabinet where farmers can upload their documents in advance of the audit and the assessor can look at them remotely. That was already in development, but we fast-tracked it and launched it right at the start of lockdown to help with the remote assessment process. And I would say that although certainly some farmers have been sceptical or worried about doing a remote assessment, I think it's largely the kind of fear of the unknown. And actually what we're seeing is that after a producer has gone through a remote assessment, they're actually really positive about it and have seen, you know, that it can work well and that it's a benefit because they've been able to go ahead and have their audit and hopefully not have to worry about it again for another year. In the pig sector, we've done over 750 audits remotely. So that just gives you an idea of the scale of the, you know, the number of audits that we do. And that's, you know, we've been able to carry on with those throughout this lockdown period. And it's worked really well. And we're really proud of that.
Okay. And lastly, Georgina, can you share with us some of the key elements Red Tractor are working on in the pig sector right now and what this means for the industry?
Sure. So we're undergoing a major standards review at the moment, which we do normally every 3 years, although this period will have been 4 years. And yes, so the work is about making sure the standards are up to date, they're fit for purpose, and they're meeting the variety of different stakeholders' needs. So one major thing that we're doing is making sure that the revised standards are up to date and in keeping with the new DEFRA welfare code that was published earlier this year. So there's some new bits of interpretation of legislation in the new DEFRA welfare code. And what we're going to do is make sure that that's all reflected in the red tractor standards. There are some other areas that we're looking at as well. So it's likely that we're going to be looking at some more robust requirements around training, particularly around handling of pigs and around responsible use of antibiotics as well. And we're also quite plugged into what's going in with discussions around the animal health and welfare pathway, looking at what government is planning, this sort of co-designed programme that will look at overall improving the health and welfare of pigs in the UK. And Red Tractor is involved in those discussions. And where possible and where it's appropriate and relevant, we will look at introducing standards that can help to support with that government and industry combined programme.
Thank you both for that very insightful discussion. It truly shows that Red Tractor Farm Assurance Schemes are a vital part of the UK pig industry, giving consumers the reassurance that they are buying the highest quality and best quality pig products in the world.
Our farm ambassadors are a group of like-minded, forward-thinking pig farmers who make it their mission to grow healthy pigs. Steve Hart of Norfolk Free Range has a very strict vaccination protocol to help keep both his pigs healthy and staff safe. Today, we're talking to Serena Shanahan, who is Steve's vet at Norfolk Free Range. She'll be discussing one of the biggest disease challenges they face, how they've overcome it, and also how they've implemented a novel way of vaccinating to help improve staff safety and pig health. So, Serena, thank you for joining us here today. Just to start off, can you give us a bit of a background about yourselves so our listeners can become familiar with you?
Yeah, sure. I'm Serena. I am Irish, but I have been in the UK working as a vet since I graduated in 2015. I did start in mixed practice, but I knew when I went to vet school that I wanted to be a large animal vet. So I started with mixed veterinary just to get a feel for everything, really, but quickly went to farm animal medicine. So, yeah, I've been a large animal vet for 5 years, and now I am here.
Fantastic. Thank you. Serena, what is your biggest disease challenge on farm at NFR?
Yes, certainly PRRS. So PRRS, or PRRS as it's called, everybody will know really, is porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome. It is a viral disease and it is endemic in most pig producing countries, but it is certainly one of the biggest disease challenges on our farm, but we are not alone. It is a major challenge in the whole industry. On the reproductive side of things, just to explain a little bit why it is so important and devastating, and of course why we choose to vaccinate rather than trying to treat things. In the breeding stock, so it depends on when the breeding animal meets the virus as to the outcome. So when we're talking about reproductive issues or problems, you are thinking about things like returns, of course, or abortions, stillbirths. All of these things, of course, cause production losses for us. We want as many pigs as we can get, and healthy pigs. And it depends on when the sow or the gilt becomes infected. So there was a study done which showed that the virus cannot cross into the fetuses before they are 72 days of age. So if 72 days into the gestation period or into the pregnancy, if you like. So if the sow, let's say, meets the virus before this time, 72 days, then the losses are really minimal because the virus really can't cross over into the piglets inside the sow. So there's not a big issue there, but it's after this period, if the sow is in contact with the virus and she is unvaccinated, so she is naive, then the losses are pretty massive. We would see things like I mentioned, like abortions and stillbirths and mummified fetuses or piglets being born of different sizes. If she is infected much later, she's likely to give birth. She can either give birth early, which is obviously a bit of a disaster management wise, or she can end up farrowing late. So it's really tricky and it's really detrimental to the herd. The other side then on the respiratory side of things, this is mostly seen in the finishing stock. You can see it in the breeding, but obviously the reproductive issues are much more major there. So in the finishing units, PERS would be seen as respiratory issues. So typically fever, pneumonia, lethargy, just generally non-thriving piglets or weaners and growers. The other thing to mention, if you do end up picking up PERS in your herd, in the finishing units in particular, because the immune system is under so much pressure trying to protect the pigs against the PERS virus, the immune system becomes a little bit battered and tired, and then they become really susceptible to bacteria in particular. So they get secondary infections. And, you know, we can see them quite often on units, particularly as the weather changes, and you are then increasing your antibiotic usage. But these pigs are on the back foot because they don't have a good immune system. They don't have a good base. So you're spending loads on antibiotics. And obviously we want to try and limit the usage of antibiotics. So between losing piglets on the breeding units and then losing pigs on the finishing units through secondary infections or just generally not thriving, as you can imagine, PERS is just major, major problem if you have naive pigs. And so yeah, we've gone down the route of vaccinating, mass vaccination, which I guess we want to talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. How important? So your mass vaccination, are you currently vaccinating 4 times per year?
Yes, that's correct. We vaccinate quarterly.
And how do you vaccinate your piglets? Are your piglets included in that?
Yes, the piglets are included and they are vaccinated at weaning, and we use the IDAL, which I think is fantastic. It's a really innovative product. It injects the piglets intradermally. So that means literally into the skin. So it is not under the skin as we give other things, but into the skin. It's done so by a high and constant pressure of air, so it pushes it into the skin. And that has so many benefits. So firstly, the piglets find it so much more comfortable. It's really low stress. They handle it really, really well. When they're rounded up again to have something done to them, they're less sort of nervous because that wasn't a painful procedure. We always want to decrease stress in pigs. With the IDAL gun, and when you are vaccinating under high pressure, the vaccine is blown into the skin of the pig and nothing comes back out and it doesn't go on to the next pig. So it's just, it's a really nifty way, I think, of disease control within your herd. Other thing, it's, you know, it's safe for all of us to use as well. There is no needle on it. Things can get chaotic around animals, but there is no chance of sort of self-injection with a needle that has potentially been inside an animal or anything like that. And if I could mention briefly just why we vaccinate intradermally, the skin itself is considered the very first defense mechanism when we consider the immune system. It has loads of highly specialized immune cells within the skin and much more than in blood. I think it's estimated around 50 times more than are in blood. So when you want ourselves included, any animal, to develop immunity, you need the vaccine to meet the immune cells of that animal or person. So what better way to find them than to go somewhere where there is loads of immune cells, which is in the skin. So that's why this vaccine gets put into the skin, so you get really great immunity rather than injecting under the skin or into the muscle, where we'll get into the bloodstream a lot quicker. So into the skin, much more effective.
Serena, you've talked a lot there about the importance of vaccination against PRRS and the strategy that you use. But we all understand that this is a multifactorial disease. So are there any strategies that you take on as a business to really handle the other factors within the PRRS disease?
Yeah, certainly. As with all disease management, really, good biosecurity is paramount. Since I've joined the company, I found when I joined their biosecurity was really excellent. We just changed a few little things. So one thing we changed was to have specific staff for the farms, so they're not traveling between farms or anything like that. But I will say that they're quite hot on disinfecting themselves and vehicles and equipment. There's no shared equipment either, but ourselves, someone like myself who will visit every farm, really, we just have to be very, very careful about our own biosecurity. So we have, I myself have boots dedicated to the finishing units and separate rubber, you know, welly boots for the breeding units. And we also have overalls that I obviously use a clean pair between each farm. The staff on farm keep their overalls and their boots on farm. They don't come off farm at all. Everything is kept there. We are also spoiled, I would say, with disinfectant, FAM 30, hand sanitizer, viral, antiviral sprays. As much as we want or need, we get. So I'm generous with it, really. I think that's the best way to be. And then on really the animal side of things, we are a single party herd. So the sows do five parties with us and then they go and we repopulate after that. The finishing units are also all in, all out. So we really don't do any mixing and no mixing of age groups. And the same with myself. I bear the ages of the animals, of the pigs that I'm seeing on a day. Or I have, you know, 48 hours pig free if I'm going somewhere. We just, yeah, all need to be mindful. And I will add, the people here are just really passionate about their pigs and they're passionate about their health and welfare. And I am just thrilled because when I come here, people are so willing to learn. And, you know, that's all I can really ask for. All they needed was some veterinary help, some veterinary advice, but they're really diligent in their own biosecurity. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're kind of their pigs to look after. So they all really do the best for them, in my experience. So, yeah, that's really nice to see.
PRRS is a significant challenge for all in the pig industry with considerable financial impacts. And I think our listeners will find that practical advice and innovative insights that you've shared with us today extremely useful. Thank you for listening to the second episode of the Growing Healthy Pigs podcast. Tune in next time when we'll be discussing how farmers can react to changing consumer buying habits. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your chosen platform and follow us on Twitter and Facebook for regular updates on the pig industry, plus the latest tips from our ambassador farmers. See you next time!
Growing Healthy Pigs podcast.